This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look ahead to a new building for one of Illinois' smallest hospitals. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. A private consulting firm could be managing the Champaign County Nursing Home as soon as this coming Monday. The county board voted overwhelmingly last night to hire St. Louis-based Management Performance Associates to run the financially strapped facility. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Last year, the idea of hiring a private company to run the Champaign County Nursing Home was so unpopular in the county board that it never got out of committee. One opponent was County Board Vice Chairman Tom Betts. But with the nursing home's continuing financial troubles and the endorsement of outside management by the county's new nursing home board, Betts said last night he had changed his mind.
This is not a perfect solution. It is a step that has the possibility of being a solution.
The vote to hire Management Performance Associates was 21-4. The four nay votes all came from Democrats, including Carol Ammons. She says hiring MPA will create an extra layer of bureaucracy around the nursing home.
But the action that you are about to take will, in essence, remove the county board from making decisions in relationship to a county nursing home that we are legislatively responsible for.
Champaign County will pay MPA $180,000 a year to manage the nursing home. That doesn't include the salary for the home's administrator, who is expected to remain Andrew Buffenbarger, but now as an MPA employee. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The county board also approved what's expected to be its final loan to the nursing home, $592,000, to keep it running through the end of the county's fiscal year, November 30th. The loan passed on a voice vote last night with several no votes. Some county board members suggested that they wait until they learn more about how the nursing home spent its money before giving it another loan. But Republican County Board Member Steve Moser said whether the loan was approved or not, the county was still ultimately liable for nursing home bills.
We're on the hook for bills incurred that are going to get paid by Champaign County. You can vote yes or you can vote no. It's going to have the same effect. None.
The loan will put a strain on Champaign County's general corporate fund and could lead to across-the-board cuts in department budgets this summer. But nursing home administrator Andrew Buffenbarger says the nursing home will run out of net money next month if the loan wasn't approved. The National Weather Service's significantly lower crest predictions appear to be good news for some Illinois communities along the Mississippi River. Those revisions came after several levee breaks in Illinois, including one Wednesday near the town of Meyer that swamped farmland with water that otherwise would have been flowing south. The revised predictions mean many towns along the river won't see the record-level flood crests they expected. The new prediction shows St. Louis cresting at 37.3 feet today, well short of the better-than-49-foot mark in 1993. But National Weather Service meteorologist Jim Cramper says river towns aren't safe yet. He says there will still be a lot of places with major flooding. The Red Cross says the recent flooding in the Midwest has added to an already long list of events that required disaster relief donations. Decatur's Mid-Illinois chapter estimates it'll cost at least $15 million to provide displaced families with food, shelter, and counseling. Public Support Director Jody Cox says that fund was reduced to nothing before those heavy rains came, but more help has already come in.
With, California wildfires and, the tornadoes that have ripped through the Midwest, that it completely depleted the funds. So they've been, in the past, 2 weeks, they've already fundraised about $5.5 million.
Cox says no one will suffer if the Red Cross doesn't raise the $15 million because the agency would borrow funds if necessary. Those wanting to help flooding victims should specify that their donation is going to the Disaster Relief Fund. Donors can also indicate what state will get those funds. Champaign's Red Cross chapter says in its area alone, 13 homes in Douglas and Vermilion counties have been displaced by floodwaters. A state mandate forbids insurance companies from canceling policies for the next couple of months in flood areas. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Illinois' director of the Division of Insurance, Mike McRaith, says that during flood evacuations, people often aren't allowed into their neighborhood or homes. As they move to flee from floods, he says they can't take time to find insurance documents or worry about mailing in a payment. McRaith says the state order will protect these families and businesses. It imposes a 2-month moratorium on the cancellation of insurance policies.
We saw a very graphic example of the need for this in 2005 with the hurricanes in the Gulf region. The reason is really, really clear. You know, the people of Illinois who are affected by the floods right now, they're worried about day-to-day needs. They're worried about, where am I going to sleep? How am I going to feed my kids?
The moratorium, which goes through the beginning of August, applies to anyone living in the 21 Illinois counties that have been declared disaster areas. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
GOP state representative candidate Frank Calabrese is at risk of losing his nomination again. Champaign firefighter and Democratic lobbyist Pat Devaney is appealing a decision the county electoral board made back in May. They decided Calabrese's nomination for the 103rd district race against Naomi Jacobson was valid, even though some of the nominating committee's papers weren't filed on time. Devaney's attorney, Michael Casper, says if the board's decision is upheld, it means deadlines are meaningless and candidates are immune to challenges. Calabrese's attorney likens the challenge to Chicago machine politics. Starting in mid-August, University of Illinois and other Big Ten conference games will be available to almost 90% of Illinois households again. The Big Ten Network and Comcast have agreed to a long-term contract that will provide the games initially on the cable provider's expanded basic service. In spring of next year, Comcast has the chance to distribute the BTN via their digital service. Cassie Arner with the U of I's Division of Intercollegiate Athletics says the contract will have a dramatic impact for them. She says now, finding Illini games will be seen in 5 million more homes.
Well, absolutely. There will be more revenue. I mean, anytime you're able to add more households, that will give us more opportunity to help fund the scholarships and the other things that we do here at the university for our student-athletes, all the support systems that they have. And we do fund 100% of all the scholarships allowable by the NCAA and all the sports that we offer.
The agreement ends a long dispute between Comcast and the Big Ten Network. Arner says the U of I last year received about $5 million through the Big Ten Network. She says she expects that number to go up once the network starts appearing on Comcast. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. One of Illinois' smallest hospitals wants to expand and offer new services over the next few years. But the chief executive officer of John and Mary Kirby Hospital in Monticello says to do that, they'll need a brand new hospital and a brand new location. The new Kirby Hospital that Steve Tenhouse has in mind would still be in Monticello and would still have only 16 inpatient beds, just like the current facility, a 1974 building on a tree-lined street near the center of town. But Tenhouse says that building cannot be expanded enough for a new wave of services.
Most hospitals have seen a definite trend more towards outpatient care, and approximately 80% of our business is outpatient with 20% inpatient. So that is a big part of it. We have a lot of different services, and most of the time those different services aren't compatible to happen in the same amount of space. Not to mention in 34 years, contemporary standards for design and care have changed dramatically. We just don't have the space on this campus to provide the services we need to. We do have a beautiful campus, but we are completely landlocked on all sides. And parking is already a problem for us, so we realize that really for the future, moving to a different location to give us room to expand is our best option.
Rural hospitals generally have been struggling in the past, especially with the rising number of patients with Medicare and Medicaid. What is it that about that phenomenon that may be different, I guess, with Kirby Hospital, and where are you at this point?
Well, one of the main things that's different about Kirby than other hospitals and cities is that we are designated as a critical access hospital by the Medicare program. And what that program affords us is cost reimbursement for Medicare services. Typically, larger hospitals have to make up the difference. They're paid on either a fee schedule or a fixed amount for their services, so they make it up in volume. In 1997, Congress enacted the Critical Access Hospital Program, realizing that smaller rural hospitals were struggling under the current system. And Kirby Hospital has seen benefits from that program, as have the other 50 critical access hospitals in Illinois.
So with that good fortune, Steve Tenhouse says it's time for Kirby Hospital to move to bigger and more modern quarters, like other critical access hospitals have done in Illinois over the past few years. He's confident that Kirby can get state approval to move.
In the meantime, we're still looking at several site options for us. And once we have that decision made, we'll be able to start to get the architects involved and then get the application completed with the CON board.
At what point do you determine how much this is all going to cost?
Well, we made a pretty good projection with our feasibility study at this point. Our projection is the project is in the neighborhood of $30 million. And that's based on the master facility plan that we did a little over a year ago to determine really the size of the building we need to provide the services that we're providing now and that we project in the future.
And where would the money come from?
A combination of cash reserves that we've saved over time, an aggressive capital campaign that we'll do in fundraising, and then obviously debt financing.
Kirby Hospital was launched in 1941 in an old mansion where it spent 33 years before it moved to more modern quarters. Tenhouse says a newer building would allow for better surgical and therapy facilities, and it would keep the hospital healthy and in Monticello for years. Look forward to generally decent weather, but there will be that risk of a shower or thunderstorm through the weekend, according to meteorologist Ted Kieser. For today, in west central and southern Illinois and in far southern Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the north, partly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving in the afternoon. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sun with a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms developing today. The highs between 80 and 86 in Champaign-Urbana, partly sunny and 84 today. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms across the two states. Lows between 57 and 63, around 60 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun again with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Saturday's highs between 80 and 85, about 82 in Champaign-Urbana. Chance of a passing shower again tomorrow night with a low of around 60. And then Sunday, partly sunny with a chance of a shower or storm and a high of around 80. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.